in your heart, as well as my heart, as we spend time in His Word this morning. We're looking at gifts. Gifts that have been entrusted to us by God Himself, given to us by His Holy Spirit. Now, please understand, when we use the word gifts, we're not talking about abilities, although those come from God. We're not talking about talents, although those too come from God. But we're talking about something different. God gives everyone, saved and unsaved alike, abilities and talents. But the gifts that we've been looking at these past few weeks are the kind of gifts that you can only receive from God. And you can only receive them from God after you've come into a personal relationship with God. And these are gifts that unsaved people do not have. And these gifts that we've been looking at are called spiritual gifts. And we've been looking at the motivational gifts found in Romans chapter 12. So if you turn in your Bibles with me this morning to Romans chapter 12, and we'll read these motivational gifts starting in verse 1 to verse 8. Romans chapter 12, start reading in verse 1. Romans chapter 12. Everybody to find it. Some will find it in their Bible. Some will find it in their phones. Some will find it on their iPads or tablets. Yeah, it's amazing. It's great. The more we can have God's Word accessible to us, the better off we'll all be. Amen. All right. Thank you. It's always nice to have one person agree with me in the congregation. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul is writing. He says, therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore in a sentence, what's the question you're supposed to ask? What is it there for? So if he says therefore, what is it there for? Well, in verse 11, Paul has been talking to this church in Rome, and he's been going through a list of things that God has done for them, ways that God has blessed them, things that God has done so that they could have a personal relationship with him. So he starts off this passage by saying, because of what God has done in chapter 11, therefore, he says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, and that would include who? Every one of us here this morning. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body within many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, in order to do these things, you must know what your spiritual gift is. And that's why we've been spending these weeks to help you understand how God has gifted you so that you can use them, get those gifts, as God intended for them to be used. So let's just bow again for a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing as we spend time in His Word this morning. God, I just pray that everything we say will be from You. We pray that every word that's from You will hit its target in our hearts. So that when we walk away from this place, God, we'll remember not what the pastor said, but remember what You said to us. And may we leave this place knowing that we've met with You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the gift that we've been looking at these past 2 weeks is called the gift of encouraging in the NIV. But we've been using the King James translation for this word called exhortation, the gift of exhortation. And really, the gift of exhortation is just the gift of encouraging. As we have seen, when the person with the gift of with the gift of this exhortation is walking in the Spirit, they encourage people, number one, to grow up spiritually. Secondly, to look within. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at your upbringing. Stop blaming other people and other things. But look within. Look within your heart to see what's going on. Why are you doing those things? Third thing he tries to encourage us with is to encourage us in the way that we should go. He encourages us, the person, the man or woman that has this spiritual gift, encourages us to walk like Jesus walked. Encourages us to live a life like he did. Fourthly, they encourage us to prevail. You know, and you know people like this, I'm sure. It's so easy to start out well. But many times people don't end well. And that's why we need a person with a gift of exhortation in our lives to encourage us to finish well, to not quit, to prevail. Number five, to meet. They will encourage you to meet together. If you have an issue with someone, they'll encourage you not to do it over social media, not to do it via email. They'd encourage you not even to do it by Skype, but do it face to face. Six, they also encourage themselves to grow. Because you need to understand, you will never take anyone to a higher level than you are spiritually. If you want to help your kids, if you want to help your grandkids, if you want to help the people in your life, if you want to help your spouse, you will never be able to help them or take them in a higher level spiritually than you are. So they're excited to see themselves grow. Number seven, to get along. They also encourage you to get along. Now, one of the reasons we're going over the spiritual gifts because it explains why people do what they do. When we understand why people respond or act like they do, and it's because of the spiritual gifts, it doesn't become an irritant anymore. Or we don't get upset anymore because we understand that's the way that God has designed them. And then number eight, he encourages us to just do it. Just do it. The person with the gift of exhortation, when they're walking in the Spirit, they say, stop thinking about it. Stop reading about it. Stop talking about it and just do it. And that's why we as a church, but also individually, we need these people as part of our lives. Now this morning, we're going to look at three areas or three ways that this person with the gift of exhortation, when they're walking in the Spirit, three ways that they can be misunderstood. And then we'll look at three characteristics of this person when they choose to walk in the flesh. So the first area that these people with the gift of exhortation, when we're walking in the Spirit, when they're walking in the Spirit, the first thing that we want to look at this morning, they can be misunderstood in that, number one, people think they're too simplistic. People think they're too simplistic. You may remember that one of the things that the person with the gift of exhortation likes to do is give people a list of things to work on. You remember that? They like to give people lists of things to work on. And people will look at this people will look at this list and they'll say, you actually mean that if I do this and this and this and this, that my life is going to change? The person with the gift of exhortation will say, yep. The person that's being helped might respond, you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand what's going on in my life. I need more than this. You mean to tell me that if I just trust God, I'll know what to do? And the person with the gift of exhortation might say, yep. But then they'll take you to maybe this verse that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. But that person, that person that they're trying to help might say, you don't understand. You don't understand. My world is falling apart. And all you say is, and you say that in my falling world, I can have peace. They'll say, yep. And they may take you to this verse. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. If you do this, listen to what God says. You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. And their response, that's way too simple. That is way too simple. You mean that if I do these things, I don't have to feel guilty anymore? And they'll say, yep. Matter of fact, they may take you to the psalmist who went through the same thing and wrote this. Finally, the psalmist says, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Psalms 32, verses 3 to 4. Have you ever shared the plan of salvation with someone before? You tell them that they are a sinner. You explain to them that their sins have separated them from God, and that their sins had to be paid for, and that Jesus Christ stepped up to pay for those sins by dying on the cross. And then you go on and tell them that Jesus rose from the dead and broke the power of death and sin, and all they have to do is admit that they're a sinner, believe that Jesus is who He says He is, and invite Him into their life. And He will forgive them of all their sins. He will take them from the kingdom of darkness and place you in the kingdom of light. Take them from the clutches of Satan and place you into the arms of God. Then you go on and you explain to them that God will give them a home for all eternity instead of torment in hell. You say all of these things, and it's true, and you say all these things to them, and their response is, you're kidding me, right? You're kidding me. It can't be that simple. Before I went into the ministry full-time, I used to sell construction machinery and logging equipment. And some of the equipment I sold for over $100,000. Now, you got to understand, this is back in the 70s. That was a lot of money back in the 70s. Well, to me, it's a lot of money today. For most of you, it doesn't matter. But to me, it's still a lot of money. But I would sell these guys this equipment. And you know what? They would trust me to buy this equipment based on what I said. But, you know, they would not accept Christ for a gift. Do you know why? Because people want to add to God's work. And as Christians, we have to be careful because we fall into the same scenario. We want to add to God's work. There's something in our flesh that wants to help God out. There's something in our flesh that wants us to be part of the solution. People want to do things because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel like they have had something to do with the solution to their problems. Too many people, saved and unsaved alike, too many people don't want God to be the total solution. They say it can't be that easy. They feel like they want to do something to help. They want to add their work to God's solution. Salvation is a complex thing. God does many things to accomplish my salvation. But my response to God's work is simple. The person with the gift of exhortation says that this is the way you should go. These are the verses you need to act upon. And people say, it won't work because it's too simple. The second thing, the second area they misunderstood is this. They come across too confident. They come across too confident. The person with the gift of exhortation, when they're walking in the Spirit, comes across confident. And they come across confident because they actually believe what they're saying. People say, you seem pretty sure about these steps. Well, this person can be, because they have personally taken these steps and they have seen their own growth. They have seen others take these steps and change. And most importantly, the reason they can be confident is because these steps are based on God's word. See, it isn't about them being overconfident in what they think. It's all about them being confident in what God says. The person with this gift will ask, are you serious about being successful from God's point of view? And if you are serious, then they'll say, this is what you need to do. These are the things you need to work on. And you can take confidence in this because this is what God said. Be strong and very courageous. Obey all the laws Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. And then God says, only then will you succeed. See, this list that this person with the gift of exhortation gives you isn't a wish list. These steps are inspired by God Himself. And because the person with the gift of exhortation believes God, they come across very confident in their advice. And for some people, that is an overconfidence. The third thing, they're misunderstood in that, what's the first thing? Help me. Yeah, they're too simple. It can't be that easy. The second thing is overconfident, and the third thing is this one. They come across as too legalistic. They come across as too legalistic. The person with the gift of exhortation wants you to grow in your walk, so they're always stressing what you should be doing. And people sometimes will respond by saying, all I am to you is just a project. That's how you see me. All you care about is I follow your list of things and do them. You don't really care about me. But that is so far from the truth. Because the person when they're walking in the Spirit, they do care. Matter of fact, they're willing to pour their lives into you. They are stressing these steps, not so you can have a check-off list. Yeah, I've done this and this and this and this today. They stress these steps or these things so you will grow up in your walk with God. And as you grow, others are going to see God in you. See, this list is not legalism at all. These are instructions from God. You remember God saying this? He said, don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. If you follow God's list or follow God's instructions, you will reap righteousness. You will live and respond as God wants you to do. The person with the gift of exhortation does not want you to look at this list every time something bad happens and ask yourself, what should I do? That's not the reason for the list. They want God's word to become relevant to everything you do. They want God's word to become more than a part of your life. The person with the gift of exhortation, when they're walking in the Spirit, they want God's word to become your life. There was this man that smelled really good wherever he went. His body seemed to manifest this pleasant fragrance all the time. His secret? He worked in the perfume factory. And working in the perfume factory, he would breathe in those aromas every day. And those fragrances eventually permeated his pores. And as he was walking around, he became like a perfumery. Is that a word, Bill? If it's not, I just made it up. He became like a perfumery. See, understand this. That is what the person with the gift of exhortation wants to see in their life as well as your life. Granted, we're all different. We all have different life experiences. We have different ages. We have different gifts and personalities. But at any age, any situation, any life experiences, we should be so permeated with God that everybody notices. The person with the gift of exhortation desires for you to reflect Christ when those trials come. They want you to respond godly when people hurt you or mistreat you. See, if you and I are living out God's instructions, if you and I are growing up spiritually, then the unsaved in our lives will see these things, and they will want the same Christ that you have so that they can handle life like you do. The person with the gift of exhortation is a truth teller, even if it hurts. They are so committed to your spiritual growth that they will not stop telling you the truth. They will not allow your feelings or your accusations of being a legalist to keep them from giving you truth. Now, you may not like it at the moment, but when you grow up spiritually, you will come back and thank them for it. Even though a person with a gift of exhortation is walking in the Spirit, they can be misunderstood by others. But you can also tell when this person with the gift of exhortation is walking in the flesh by these three characteristics. And we'll go through them quickly. And let me just say this. They're understood probably more than three ways, and the fleshly characteristics are more than three, but this is just to give you an overview of what happens with the person with the gift of exhortation. But when they're walking in the flesh, they become judgmental. They become judgmental. When this person is walking in the Spirit, they have the wisdom of God. Yet if they choose to walk in the flesh, godly wisdom turns into carnal thinking. And carnal thinking is thinking that is influenced by the world. Thinking is when we choose to think apart from God. When this person is walking in the flesh, they make the wisdom they receive from God, they trade the wisdom they receive from God for worldly wisdom, which goes from wanting to help people to judging people. Godly wisdom tells you that you need to change so that you will grow up. But when this person is walking in the flesh, they don't care about you growing. Instead, they become upset by the way that you are acting. Instead of wanting to help you grow when they're walking in the flesh, instead of wanting to come alongside of you and pouring their life into you, they will say something like, you know what? You just need to stop acting like a jerk and grow up. Do you have anyone in your life that's like that? Do you have any person in your life that you never know how they're going to respond when you see them? Some days they're just your best friend. They couldn't do enough for you. And then maybe you see them on the street the next day, and they almost don't want to be with you. They just want to ignore you. All right? I'm the only one with people like that in my life. All right? Now, you don't. Let me just say this. You don't have to have the gift of exhortation to be like that. All right? But it does tell you that that person is walking in the flesh. Secondly, when they're walking in the flesh, they become speculative, or they speculate. When the person with exhortation is walking in the Spirit, they operate by faith. But let them walk in the flesh, they will assume, or they'll speculate. Instead of trusting God, they assume what your motives are. Instead of trusting God, they speculate how you're going to respond so that they know how to counter-respond. When they're walking in the Spirit, this person is very discreet in what they say and how they say it. Yet you let that person walk in the flesh, they become simple-minded. They say things that they shouldn't say. They give you advice they shouldn't give. Instead of giving you advice based on God's word, they give you advice based on what they presume or speculate to be true. So in the flesh, instead of advancing your growth, spiritual growth, they end up hindering your spiritual growth. Then the last one is this one. They become apathetic. They become apathetic. The person with this gift, when they are walking in the Spirit, is enthusiastic. They're encouraging. They're excited when they see people growing spiritually. And it doesn't have to be growth in leaps and bounds, but any kind of growth, any kind of advancement in your walk with God excites them because that's the way God has wired them. Yet when this person decides to switch sides, to leap from the Spirit over to the flesh, they become apathetic. Some to the point that they don't even care anymore. Instead of wanting to pour their life into you, you may even find that they don't have any time for you. When we walk in the Spirit, our spiritual gifts are always our strength. But when you and I choose to walk in the flesh, that strength always becomes a weakness. And God, well, often He leaves that choice up to us. You can choose to walk in the Spirit and be a blessing, a mentor, one that moves God's gender ahead, or you can choose to walk in the flesh and become uncaring, self-centered, and become, instead of a help to God's agenda, you turn into a hindrance to God's agenda. Remember, we are the most profitable to God and the people that God brings into our lives when we are walking in the Spirit, using the gifts that have been entrusted to us by God. Do you remember what New Testament character we said probably had the gift of exhortation? What did we say? Yeah, the Apostle Paul. So I want to close this morning by just giving you a few things that Paul had to say, briefly. Not only, as he wrote these letters, it's not only to the Christians of his time, but it's to us as well. Paul wrote this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. As you live out this next week, can I encourage you to make a conscious decision every day to continue to live in Him? Make a conscious decision to encourage other godly people into your life so that they can teach you. And then make a conscious decision to see that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, 8. Can I tell you something? When we don't make conscious decisions to do what's right, more times than not, we'll choose to do wrong. When we don't make a conscious decision to walk with God, more than likely, the flesh is going to have us walk away from God. And it may not be a drastic walk away, but we tend to drift if we don't constantly make the choice to be what God wants us to be. Contrary to deceitful philosophies, our lives are not our own. We are bought with a price. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Contrary to human tradition, life is not all about me. And your life is not all about you. My spiritual gift is not for my benefit. It's for yours. And your spiritual gift is not for your benefit. It's for us. Paul writes, just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 15. See, at the end of our lives, God will not be so concerned about what I did. At the end of our lives, God will be interested not so much in what I did, but how I lived. Don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. You will always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to our Christian brothers and sisters. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 10. The fact that God has chosen us in salvation, the fact that God has gifted us in service, and the fact that God wants to use us in his work should remind every believer in this room today how really blessed we are. I want to close with that song this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a second as we reflect on how God has blessed us. So stand with me as we sing together this morning,